Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. You need to readjust that. She just fixed that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. How the saints of God should pray. How the saints of God should pray. Part 7, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign. Day 488, since January the 20th, 2017. Over a year ago, and day 855 since January the 1st, 2016. How the saints of God should pray. After Jesus told us how not to pray, not to be hypocrites, phonies, and fakes trying to be seen, he then tells us in verse 9 how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Holy Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this holy passage of Scripture. Lord Jesus, your very words. And thank you, Lord, that we had great grandmothers and grandmothers and a few grandfathers and aunties, and even some mothers who taught us what is called the Lord's Prayer. And Holy Father God, for those of us who are born again and saved, we thank you for somehow, miraculously, mercifully, mysteriously saving our souls, bringing us to Christ in this sin-cursed world. And now we have a better understanding of your model prayer for your disciples and for your saints. Lord, we pray that you would grant us even a greater understanding, but most importantly, Lord, motivate us, lead us, guide us, and direct us to use this model to pray to you as we should. And to never use vain repetitions, and to never pray to be seen, and become hypocrites, therefore. And Lord, forgive us of our sin of prayerlessness. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing, using this your brief, powerful model for us. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And grant me fresh anointing, unction, liberty, and freedom, and the power of your Holy Spirit from on high. to deliver this brief message to the people listening and viewing live around the world and on demand here shortly, going out right now via six streams. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll save that soul that is nearest hell today, that soul that does not know they will die this evening. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and revive those Christians who need reviving. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. And after it is all said and done, have it be so that people will remember nothing but you, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name we pray, and for your sake, amen. You may be seated. Said the mic is not on. No, that's okay, that's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, do not be shocked, do not be surprised at some of the delays here today. I have told you in the past that Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, whenever, particularly when I'm preaching the gospel, and I know many of our Christian friends who think that the devil has no power, he has no hindering power, that Judas is gone forever. That is not the case. A theologian gave the example how that the devil will use anything to hinder God's work and God's servants. He said even things like this, and I am sure many of our sweet, loving, semi-perfect Christian friends who thinks everything, who think rather everything ought to go hunkadory for you all of the time, it doesn't for them either. They're liars and they're hypocrites. Okay. He said, this is a great theologian, has written commentaries on the Bible. He said the devil will, if you and your wife are having a problem in your marriage, which the hunkadory Christians, they try to act like they don't have any problems. They say silly little things like, and they, you know, when they get around other believers who expect them to act a certain way, and they say little things, you know. Oh, he's so wonderful. They hold hands. They don't talk like this at home. They look all googly-eyed at each other. Oh, he's so wonderful. And and she's my rock and all this kind of stuff. And that's not how it is at home. They're fakers. So you do have problems in your marriage and family at times, Christians, no matter how you try to make it look and make it sound. And you will be the main couple in a few months in the church, in the community. Everybody's shocked because you're getting a divorce. He's getting a divorce from his rock, and she's getting a divorce from her sweet thing, her sweetie pie. But the devil will attack your marriage and family if you mean business for God. That is a fact. And this theologian said, as soon as the devil does cause some problems in the marriage, he's going to send some hot thing by, some fine mamma jamma, excuse me, you people who have fired Paige Patterson, excuse me, to tempt the man of God or the woman of God right at that moment when you're having a marriage problem. You'll get over it, but the devil specializes in that. Now, this is a great theologian. If I called his name, you would know him. He's written many commentaries, and he's very good at it. But he brought out something as simple as that. The devil is in the business of not only hindering, trying to hinder, betraying the people of God, and having Judases in the church betraying the people of God. He's not only doing that, he's seeking whom he may devour and to destroy. We've had a series of unfortunate events that we normally don't have, but today is Friday. And I have told you that the devil, if you will, to use the words of Charles McKinney, kicks up his heels on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if you mean business. He's going to do his best to use somebody in the congregation or in your family to cause a problem. All kinds of technical things are going to happen. Someone said that when the devil was thrown out of heaven, he landed. And just switch, if you can. If you can't, just go ahead and keep on doing that. See, the devil's still working while I'm up here preaching. Someone well said that the devil, when he landed in the choir box. I have another box the devil landed in, and that is in the technician's box. Many pastors have looked at the choir director and saw the devil, and many pastors have looked in the technician's box and saw the devil. He was Brother Sam or Brother Bo or Sister Smith or whatever, but when the church service is going on and people are telling you that your mic is not on and the video is not playing, that you preached the whole message and the video was shot the whole time, and the technician who transformed himself into the devil sat there and looked through the peephole and knew the thing was not going and did not send any signals that the video was not playing, and you preached your heart out. And in fact, you preached your $50 sermon. And you just flat did it and it's gone forever. And then come to find out at the back table, the audio did not record either. So you have to pray extra hard on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Whenever you're going to preach the gospel and make it plain, whenever you are trying to win somebody to Jesus, the devil is not just going to sit idly by and let you do that. He's not going to do that. And so this morning we've had, and I'm not surprised, I'm not shocked at all, because oftentimes the people that you train, things are going so well and along so swimmingly for days and weeks, particularly if you do like I do and preach every day almost, what happens is you get some success and souls are being saved and a lot of people are coming and people drop their guard. We had a birthday yesterday and we took them out for their birthday, and it's amazing how that you can have a little outing, something that you think would motivate them and encourage them, and they come back deader than before. And it happens all the time. And the guard is not up. People are not sober-minded. People are not vigilant. People are not watchful. People are not on point. And you might have a Judas in the bunch. And all pastors know what I'm talking about who mean business. All churches know what I'm talking about. And some pastors are more tolerant than of that kind of thing. Many pastors, all pastors, if you're truly called to be a pastor, you're more, way more tolerant of that than a prophet or an evangelist. And to me, those things are totally unnecessary. And they're not called for. But be that as it may. And so that's a little mini sermon to hopefully prepare you by the grace of God for this weekend as you prepare yourself to minister to others and to serve others and to witness to others and pray for others. And if you're doing that, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. And so to the message, ladies and gentlemen, the first part of the model prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave as by way of remembrance leads us to give God praise, to honor His name, and to show Him, that is, show God reverence and respect. I think it's one of the most important things you can do. I believe there's a lack of respect for God today. Yes, even in the church and in so-called Christian families. We have people who have been, Christianity has been in their family so long they have gotten loosey-goosey with their tongues. You know, calling him the man upstairs, my buddy Jesus, and all kinds of other such ungodly, blasphemous words and statements are made, putting God in filthy jokes or suggestive jokes. No respect for God, no reverence for God. And I believe that if you don't pray like this, like Jesus, the Son of God, told us to pray, if you don't have this element of respect and reverence and honor and glory and praise to God, you may not be heard. I don't know. I'm not God, and you're not either. I don't know. But you may not be heard. And I'm the head of my household and have been for over 30 years. even my wife has to approach me a certain way. I know that's not popular today. I know that's not politically correct. But I don't care what the situation is. Even she has got to approach me with respect. Now, you have, you say, well, my wife don't have to come to me like that. She can just call me Buddy, call me Skeeter, call me Junebug, and whatever, you know. Well, in front of my friends and everything, you know, I'm down like that. Okay, good. It's good for you. Good for you. But my wife cannot call me Junebug and Skeeter in front of anybody, and not even my children. And she has to answer right, with respect. And I'm just a mere human being. It's just a matter of respect. I'm not one when the police officer pulls me over. I don't look at his badge. Oh, George, how you doing, George? No, no, no. I say, yes, sir. I don't care if he's black or white. It makes no difference. It's a matter of respect. It doesn't matter how you feel about President Trump. He is the president. It doesn't matter how you feel about President Obama. He was the president. You ought to show them respect. Not the same respect and reverence as God. I'm just trying to point out to you that we respect human beings. My children, you just cannot come to me any kind of way. My children have never called me by my first name like you, some of you folks let your children do. Betty, let me tell you something. No, 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 no. Your mouth will be over there sitting in the chair and your tail over here before you ain't gonna call me by my first name. They have to approach me with respect. Now, am I a holy, perfect, super duper spiritual man of God around my children and walking, having them walking on eggshells and all that? No, that's not like that. But if you ask for something, you need to come with the right attitude and the right spirit. You just can't just, you got to say, excuse me, Papa. My wife has to say, excuse me, Daddy. She can't come in my room talking about, Skeeter, get up and pick up your clothes on the way out here and come on out here and the food is ready for you. Come get your food. We's going to have a problem. And I'm just a wicked, evil, sinful human being like she is. But we're going to have respect up in the house. Respect and decency And guess what else we do? We say, excuse me, in the family. People pass by, say, excuse me, please. I say, please, to my children. Would you please get this? Unless they act, they're cutting the food. Then I have to put some bass in my voice and cut it short. But I say, excuse me, would you get this for me, please? Show respect. We show respect for human sinful human beings. You better respect God, reverence God. And now I can't give you that. I can't make you have that, get that. You got to have that on the inside somewhere. God got to do that for you somehow. I don't know. I don't know how God is going to do that. Here you go. The devil's still busy. I know that I'm preaching good, and the devil is mad because I'm telling folks to reverence God and to honor God when you pray. I know we have covered this, but I'm not in a hurry. I preach every day. I'm not in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, you can just listen to what you want to listen to. You go ahead on. Oh, yeah. I'm getting another mic. It's an old mic, old style. Old school. But it's not wireless, so you can depend on it. It's going to be there for you. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Write this down. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Believe it or not, I warned the people this morning. I warned my staff this morning. It's Friday. Evidently, they didn't listen to me. Because it's not only the devil who causes these problems. It's people who are not watchful and prayerful and sober-minded. And then there's some Judases who intentionally cause problems like this because they cannot stand the work of God going forward. And I share these things with you because I know the same thing happens where you are. We all go through the same things in ministry. If you're praying, you're fasting, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're striving to be obedient to God, and if you're telling other folks about Jesus, the devil is going to pull out everything he can to hinder you. And he definitely does not want you to be preaching on prayer, encouraging other people to pray. He doesn't want you to preach the gospel, which I do every day. That's my calling as an evangelist. I don't care what I preach. I'm preaching about Jesus and what he said, and I'm going to preach the gospel and share with people how to be saved from a burning hell. So respect God, my beloved. Respect God. Show him reverence when you come to him. And another way that you can do that is make sure you don't just say platitudes and things that you know you don't mean at that time, that you meant them at one point, but now you say them mindlessly, and God is offended by that. You're not showing him the respect and reverence due his name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then by way of remembrance. And by the way, much of the Christian life, beloved, is remembering, which I have talked to you about in the past. There's nothing new in the Bible, okay? I'm sorry if you get bored with the Bible. I don't know what is going on with you spiritually. Always looking for some new thing. I dealt with the issue a few weeks ago. These young preachers today trying to be edgy. They're so edgy they're falling off the cliff with stupidity, saying stupid things. Trying to be edgy, trying to be so impressive, trying to impress people so much they come up with some of the dumbest demonic things known to mankind. And I don't want to get into it today, okay? So I'm going to leave it alone right now. But as one older preacher said, he's not that old. He's in his late 50s, I believe. And he's right, a preacher down in Houston. He told the people the truth. Don't come here looking for something new every week. There's nothing new about the old faith, the old gospel. There's nothing new about Calvary, and it's all about what I tell people all of the time: trusting in God. Of course, that includes trusting Christ as Savior, loving God back, fearing God, that is, reverencing God, respecting God, obeying God, and being faithful to God. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't do the first three, and if that's not in your heart, and they all go together. Now, I'm not. These are not any steps. These are not steps. This happens all at one time. Trust in God, number one. You don't have that, the other stuff is not going to work. Love God back, because He first loved you. Fear God. Respect God. Reverence God. I can't give you that. I don't know how God gave it to me, but He's going to have to give it to you. Because if you don't fear God and you don't respect God and you don't reverence God, you're not going to obey Him. You're just not going to do it. It's just like a student with a teacher. That student does not have a healthy fear of that teacher, a healthy respect even of a parent. They're not going to do what they say. And then if you're not obedient in the first place, how can you be faithful? You're not going to be faithful. You're just not going to do it. And so much of the Christian life is the same old stuff. Same old, same old. In the words of Sammy Madison. But if that is boring to you, I don't know what kind of faith you are living. I don't understand. I don't understand. You can't talk to me about that. I don't know. I'm excited, ecstatic. I don't even want to go to sleep. I'm in a hurry to wake up. Because God has filled my heart with thousands of things, my mind with thousands of things to do for the kingdom. And I'm trying to cram it all in and get it all done by the grace of God. I am beside myself. And increasingly so, since I was born again, December the 19th, 1979, the Bible is so true. The light gets brighter and brighter as you get older in the Lord. Not darker and darker. The world gets darker and darker and dimmer and dimmer. But that pathway on up the staircase to heaven, beloved, it gets brighter and brighter. It gets better and better. In the words of an old country preacher, it gets gooder and gooder. And I lie not to you. I'm not preaching, I'm telling you the truth. And so the second part of the model, prayer, leads us to put God's will before ours. And we dealt with that. Who knows, I may deal with it again. This is so rich. See, some of you folks who want me to, you know, preach a little sweet little 1-2-3 point message and a poem and be through with it. You know, you're just in the business of preaching little sermonettes and sermons, manufactured sermons. I'm not in a hurry to do that. I'm not trying to, I'm not in a rush to do anything. The Bible is so rich, and especially passages like this, that the truth of the matter is you can stay in one passage for the rest of your life. That's how deep the Word of God is. And the reason why many pastors package their little sermons, all of their series, 4 sermons, that's it. They rush through the Bible. You know why? Because they know people want something new. They want some new thing. As they did in Paul's day. You're always searching for something new. And Paul had to tell you don't even know the unknown God. You got a statue to the unknown God. You don't know Him. Why are you looking for something new all of the time? We'll hear you at another time, Paul. We want to hear this today. We want to hear some new thing. That's how we are as human beings. Sinful, with our sinful nature. Never satisfied. Always want something new. And that's why you have, listen to me very carefully, and I ain't mad at you, that's why you have Netflix. That's why you have Amazon Studios. That's why you have ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, a thousand different places to go and see something new, and all of it is basically based on the same old stuff. You have seen so many movies that you know what the ending is going to be. We always want to hear something new or see something new, and I feel sorry for you if that's how you're living your life, because you can't have something new every time, every day. This is why many young people, they go to the mall, they're trying to find something new, see something new. Got many husbands want something new, a new woman. Got many wives, they want something new. Everybody in the family wants something new. Apple knows all about that. Samsung, they know all about that. They know that the phone that you bought back in 2005 is just fine, but they know that you want something new. And they add one little stupid feature that means nothing. Sometimes it's the same thing they'd say, or it is enhanced. Now you can really take pictures. You were taking pictures before, but now you can really take some. Boy, I tell you, these pictures are going to bounce off your head. They're going to be so vivid. And do you know some of these cameras today, the definition is so tight, man, it makes people look like monsters. Scary. You can see every little detail. Is that what you really want? We're never satisfied. We're never content. Parents take their children to a nice little restaurant they haven't been to in years. And they can't even enjoy themselves because they know that it's going to be over here shortly. The parents take them to a movie, and the children come out of the movie deflated and depressed and sad. Why? Because the newness is already worn off and they want something else new now. All the way down to the toddler, you buy the toddler a nice little shiny toy. Oh, thank you, Papi. Thank you, Mommy. And they love it. Love it. They play with it for 5 minutes, and then you walk back in the room, they throw it down on the ground, and it's all broken. What's wrong, baby? I just bought you that $15 toy. Only the parents going to save the money part. It's $15. She does not care. He doesn't care about the money. I don't want it anymore. I want something else. I saw this on television. What this? Never satisfied. Never happy. Always want something new. There are many people still today. They buy a Mercedes, but they want a new Mercedes next year. There's nothing wrong with their old Mercedes, but they want a new car every year. And that's how many Christians are. See, let me be honest with you. I've preached in many churches down through the years, white, black, Hispanic, mixed, whatever, all around the globe. I got to the point where I have never hustled meetings like some evangelists do. Always got their little book. Let me pencil me in or something like that. They'll say something along those lines. Pencil me in brother. In fact, brother, I'm gonna be in town and be passing through there. Set me up for a meeting. Here's my book. My calendar. That's sad. But I stopped doing many meetings because, you know why? The people want something new, and all I got is the old stuff for you. You need to pray. See, you don't even do that. So why would I give you something new? I mean, are you serious? Are you kidding? pray, read your Bible, have family devotions, witness to somebody, tell somebody about Jesus, pass out some gospel tracts. Have you done that over the past 2 or 3 years? Oh, no, that's boring. Well, I have nothing for you. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Same. And I'm going to deal with that right there. Because, see, you're not doing that. And then what do you get? No amens, no support. People sitting on the pew with their arms folded like they swallow the curtain rod, mad at you because you've come to town and you're messing with people, you're meddling with people, you're bringing up things, they're causing problems. You know, we don't pray, we not gonna, and the people they have their minds already made up. That's disgusting for any preacher who is serious about trying to help folk. Their minds are already made up that they're going to keep on doing what they're doing. And I have no interest, listen to me very carefully, I have no interest in preaching to modern day Christians. I really don't. They're just like an old person set in their ways. You can't tell them anything. They're smarter than all of your technology. They're smarter than all of your new ideas. They want to do it the old-fashioned way, and you can't tell them anything. I've been getting by all these years, 65 years. I keep on doing it. You can't tell them anything. And many churches are that way. They're set in their way. That's the problem. And I feel, and no wonder so many pastors are getting out of the ministry. It's like beating your head up against a rock. They want you to perform a miracle to relieve them of their pain and their pressure every Sunday. And you tell them the truth. You can't come up with anything new because there's nothing new in the Bible. They already know the Bible. They know the Bible just as good as you do, if not better. They can tell you what's in the Bible. They can preach a sermon to you. They can preach to you the sermon you already preached to them. They got the notes in their Bibles. But they have not done the sermons. That's the problem. And so we have a bunch of Christians who are constipated. Excuse me. They're constipated, excuse me, fat, dumb, and happy. They're constipated. They're dead, like the Dead Sea, because they're taken in and taken in and taken in and never giving out. Souls all around them are dying and going to hell. They have not brought a person to church in the past 21 years, but they're there faithfully, dragging in. How you doing, Brother Stevens? Oh, I'm getting along. I'm getting along. All right. Okay. Pray for me, preacher. God bless you. What you going to do this Sunday afternoon? Well, I'm going to go fishing. Oh, you going to go fishing for some souls? No, I'm going to go fishing for some whiting down at the lake. None of the folk in the church have passed out a gospel tract in the past 21 years. There's no water in the baptismal pool because nobody's getting baptized. And they want me to come and resurrect the completely dead. And one preacher can't, and they want the meeting as short as possible. One preacher can't do it in 3 days. And certainly not one day. And not even a week. And then when you have the pastor and the pastor's wife in sin, and the leaders in the church in sin, while you're trying to preach the word of God, and ain't nothing happening, That's enough to give an evangelist a heart attack. Seriously. I believe I'm still alive today because I refuse to get into the system of just getting meetings, basically to survive and to live on. People always want something new when it's always been the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants. And that's what God wants you to want. His will to be done. Because if his will is done, that's good for you. It's good for me. We don't think like that, but that's the truth. And so, beloved, as we have seen already, the first intent of this request is for us to desire and pray for the building up of God's spiritual kingdom on earth in the here and now. We cannot pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, without truly desiring that God's will be done in our hearts and lives. I was thinking about this brother's ministry that has a huge impact. He called the ministry Desiring God. Sounds like, to many of us, a boring name, but it's much deeper than what you think. Do you have a desire in your heart for God, or is it all about you, or some other man, or some other woman, or your children? Or you have your heart all wrapped up in human beings. They're your little gods, your family, your friends, your buddies. Do you have a desire for God in your heart, to know God, to obey God, and to understand and appreciate the righteousness of God? We cannot pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, without truly desiring that God's will be done in our own hearts and lives. First, and in the hearts and lives of others. Now, you cannot manufacture this. I can't give it to you. You can't buy this in a store. Only God can do this in you. But you have to be willing for him to do it. Because he's not going to push the door down. He's just going to knock. But there is another intent that involves our hope for the future. What is this hope? It is the coming physical rule and reign of God on the earth. As Christians, we ought to be looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we? When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are expressing our desire to see the physical kingdom of God established on the earth. We are praying for the second coming of Christ. And by the way, I had a thought today while in family devotions, how that you will be walking one day, and you hear me well. You will be walking through a door that you have gone through 1,000 times in your house. And you're going to drop dead. And what I'm saying is your body will drop dead. Your soul will continue climbing up the stairway to heaven into the presence of God. And my dear friends, that's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a sad day for those who come out into the hallway and see your body lying on the floor. Then again, it may be a happy day for some. But it'll be a joyous day for you if you're born again, if you're saved, climbing the stairways to heaven, and you don't want me to break out singing that song. Same thing with the rapture, the second coming of Christ, the first part of the second coming of Christ. One day you're going to be walking. You might be out walking your dog. You're going to walk through a familiar door. And once you pass through that door, you'll be taken in the rapture. It's going to happen. You need to pray to that end. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. J.C. Ryle said that when we pray this prayer, we mean chiefly the kingdom of glory, which one day will be set up when Jesus comes the second time. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Sad to say, we have too many Christians today who are have really no interest in leaving this earth. They're not in a hurry to be raptured out of here. They're not in a hurry to go to heaven. They kind of like it in this sin-cursed world. Well, if you like it in this sin-cursed world, a place where stepfathers rape their stepdaughters and then kill them and stuff them in the back of a car and dump them out somewhere. If you like living in a world where an 86-year-old grandmother, almost dead already, is robbed and raped by some demonic hoodlum and left for dead. Then you can have it. But anytime the Lord wants to call me home, anytime He wants to come in the rapture, I'm ready. Because I do not want to live in a world, in a place like that. This is the time when sin, sorrow, and Satan will be driven out of the world, the second coming of Christ. It is the time when the Jews will be converted and the full number of the Gentiles, those who trust in Christ, will come in a time that is to be desired more than anything. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Again, I cannot give you that. Only God can give you that desire. That's a God thing. It therefore fills a foremost place in the Lord's Prayer. Or the disciples' prayer. Our faithfulness to praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you pray something like that every day, you're going to be glad when that prayer is answered one day. It is a reflection of the desire of our hearts. Do we truly desire that God's kingdom be established in our hearts and lives? Pardon me. Are we earnestly looking forward to the coming rule and reign of Christ in the earth? For it is true, if we have that kind of desire and that hope of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back. And we should have that in our hearts. It has a purifying effect on our lives. It has a simplifying effect on our lives. It helps us to stay on point. It helps us, in the words of one beautiful young lady, not get distracted. It helps us not to become overwhelmed with the stuff of life that oftentimes is absolutely meaningless. In other words, you have your to-do list and God has his. And I guarantee you, if you look at God's to-do list compared to yours, his is going to be very simple. And it's going to be only a few things on there. You will have 50 things on yours. And so, beloved, if that is truly our desire, we can begin demonstrating it by being obedient to God's will. Let God's will be done and not ours. Whatever God tells us to do in response to our prayers, we ought to do it. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are surrendering our will to God like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are acknowledging him as Lord of our lives and demonstrating our commitment to his will being done and his kingdom coming by obeying him in order to build the kingdom in this present age by the grace of God. Arthur C. Cox said, "Oh, where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? But Lord, thy church is praying yet 1,000 years the same. We mark her goodly battlements and her foundations strong. We hear within the solemn voice of her unending song. For not like kingdoms of the world, thy holy church, O God, though earthquake shocks are threatening her and tempests are abroad, unshaken as eternal hills, immovable she stands, a mountain that shall fill the earth, a house not made by hands." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray and let's sing, "Lord, keep me day by day, a house not made with hands." And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of the devil fighting against us today and saints not being on point, not being watchful, not being prayerful. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. I see why now the devil fought so hard today. Help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And help us to do your will and not ours. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come. For your will being done and your kingdom coming is not only for your glory, praise, and honor, it is for our good as well. And help us to pray Help us to pray more faithfully going forward. Help us to pray with more faith going forward. And help us to pray with more purpose going forward, understanding what is called the Lord's Prayer better. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, save that soul that's nearest hell today. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all, as I have shared with you earlier, we all will die one day. We live long enough. Our body goes into the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. If we do trust Christ as Savior, our soul goes to heaven to live forever. And yes, hell is very real. So you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I didn't mention a baptismal certificate. I didn't mention church membership. None of that can save you. The Bible says, "And fear not them," Jesus said, "which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Whatever you think of that verse, whatever you think about what Jesus said here, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a historical figure, just like George Washington is a historical figure, you know that this statement is very, very serious. This is not fun and games. Hell is a very real place. The lake of fire is a very real place. And you, in your right mind, do not want to spend eternity in hell. For you see, the soul is eternal. It was made to be eternal. And so it's going to live somewhere forever, either heaven or hell. That's why it is crucial that you trust Christ as Savior today. And yes, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. That's bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." So all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And pray and ask God to save your soul because of your faith in Christ. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from the sin that causes hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Will you do it today? Will you trust Christ as Savior? Hundreds have, and you can too. If you are believing on Jesus Christ in your heart right now, follow me in what is called the sinner's prayer and repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. I admit and I acknowledge that I am a sinner by nature and by choice. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying and by dishonesty, by coveting and lusting after people and things that don't belong to me in my heart, by stealing things that don't belong to me, by taking your name in vain, by dishonoring my parents. Holy Father God, that's five of your commandments that I have violated and I have committed. And so I understand that I'm guilty and I deserve eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy upon my soul and forgive me of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, may I say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is also on the site that you're on, I believe. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friends, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or whatever email is on your screen where you are right now. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. We'll pray for you, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.